The Survivor All-Time Underrated Player Draft is brought to you by Hulu Plus. Watch your favorite shows anytime, anywhere with Hulu Plus on your TV or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. Shows like Family Guy, Once Upon a Time, New Girl, Scandal, and more. Right now, you could try Hulu Plus free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/Rob or click the banner on my site. That's HuluPlus.com/ROB. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's so underrated, he's now overrated, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Rob Has a Podcast. This is going to be a very fun show that we're doing here today. This is the first ever Survivor All-Time Underrated Player Draft that we are going to do. And we have assembled four drafters here today that are going to draft teams of four men and four women of underrated Survivor players with the goal of finding the person who could potentially win the all-underrated season of Survivor. Okay? So first, let me introduce you to the panel, and I'll introduce you to them in the order that we'll be drafting here today. We're going to be having a rat and snake draft, so once you get to pick number four, that same person will vote, will pick again and pick number five. And so let's start off here with the person with the least amount of RHAP appearances so far. She is a woman who is a knowledgeable Survivor fan. She is also a host on the RHAP reality TV wrap-ups of BBUK. Please welcome Mallory Beasley to the show.
Hi, everybody. I'm excited to be here. I'm surviving in every sense of the word. I have a bit of a stomach bug, so some of my picks may seem very odd and very influenced by cough syrup and any other flu medications that I am on, but I'm going to try to win this.
Okay. All right, Mallory. Well, very excited to have you here on the podcast. Is there any pressure on you being the lone female drafter today?
Yeah, there's a huge pressure. I had a really hard time picking my guys, the guys on my tribe, but I had too many ladies to choose from, so it's going to be tough whittling it down. We'll see what happens.
Okay, well, very much looking forward to that. All right, here, number two in the draft board here today is the man with the second most RHAP appearances on the panel. You know him most notably from podcasting with me about Breaking Bad last summer. He's also one of the voices that you hear on post-show recaps. Please welcome Antonio Mazzaro. Antonio.
Rob, how's it going? How's it going, Josh? How's it going, everybody? I'm welcome, by the way, to Mallory, especially. And hopefully we can have a good rat and snake draft here. I don't know much about rats or snakes. I've never eaten either one. So I'd probably be a poor contestant on some seasons of Survivor, but I'm here to pick some underrated players for sure.
All right, and Antonio, that I asked you here today because you were horrified with the results of the top 20, correct?
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it. I mean, you got Kaz on there talking about how Sandra doesn't even belong in the top 20, and the tabulator really burned him pretty good. So I can't say that everyone's picks are perfect, but there were some recency bias picks, I felt like, in the top, especially the top 20 to 10, that are just absolutely abhorrent. And I'm here to really raise a heck about some of the players from seasons past that needed more recognition that didn't get it.
Okay. All right. And now here is a man that will be drafting number three. You know him from post-show recaps and doing all sorts of podcasts with me about Survivor and The Walking Dead. Please welcome Josh Wigler.
I'm in a lot of trouble. I thought we were drafting Best Survivor Chickens.
Best Survivor Chickens. No, absolutely not. Because Steve Chicken Morris would go number one. And then that would be a very short pool for number two.
Because I have dinner at the top of my list, and I guess no longer applies.
The names of the actual chickens from the, from the show? Yeah, why?
No, good?
Yeah, that you were talking about chickens when you were on during the last past season.
Is that true? Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I only come out for chickens when we're talking about Survivor. That's my thing.
You were talking about how your wife, when she was growing up, she had chickens, and it was the question of, do chickens lay eggs, or where do the eggs come from?
Yeah, that's right. She's also allergic to eggs, which is very unfortunate.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about that for this whole thing.
All right. And then, of course, I will be drafting fourth here. Now, the rules of this, the way this is going to work is we have here from the tabulator the list of all 424 Survivor players ranked by the order in which they received your votes during the polling for the all-time top 20 poll. You know, after we get to the top... 50 or so, some of the ordering becomes a little wonky. There were some people who got joke votes that are higher than they should be. So basically, we're cutting it off around 30. And after the top 30, anybody from beyond 30 is eligible for the all-time underrated players draft list. And these are people who did not get as many votes in the top 10 polling as the people that were inside the top 30. That full list is going to be available. I will post the link. It's at robhasawebsite.com/top30 if you want to see the full list of all the players. It's actually a top 424 list, but 424 is going to be hard to remember. So we'll just call it robhasawebsite.com/top30. So these players are all going to be ineligible. The way this is going to work is that we are going to draft 1, 2, 3, 4, Mallory, Antonio, Josh, Rob. Okay. And then back through the order to Rob, Josh, Antonio, Mallory, and then reverse it again. We're going to draft a total of 8 rounds. Okay. And each round is going to be paired with the round before. So think of it more of a round of 8 as opposed to a round of 4, because what you'll need to do is draft one man and one woman by the time it goes back to you. So you don't have to draft a man or a woman in either round, but whatever you do in the round before, you have to do the opposite just to make it easy. If Mallory drafts a woman in round 1, she must draft a man in round 2, and in round 3 it will reset. She gets to do whatever she wants. Okay, everybody understands the rules?
Yep.
Okay. We know the top 20 from the Survivor Top 20. Let me give you 21 through 30, okay? And let me just tell you, these are the players that are not eligible for the all-time. I'll count down from 30 to 1. Is that better? Sure. Okay, number 30 is Earl Cole. You cannot draft the winner of Survivor Fiji or his buddy Yao Man Chan from Survivor Fiji. He was 29. Rupert is off the board at 28. Jonathan Penner is off the board at 27. The great Sophie G. Clark is off the board at 26, and her wine and cheese pal Stephen Fishback is off the board at 25. There should be no Tina Wesson drafted today. She's at 24. Johnny Fairplay is very upset that he's number 23. JT is at number 22, and fellow winner Denise Stapley is at 21. And then the people from the top 20, Chris Daugherty, Amanda Kimmel, Tom Westman, Ozzie Luth, Brian Heidick, Malcolm, John Cochran, Spencer Tyson, Yul Kwan, Todd Herzog, Russell Hance, Tony Vlachos, Sari, Rob Sesternino, Richard Hatch, Kim Spradlin, Sandra, Boston Rob, and Parvati are all ineligible and not underrated at all because they all received in the top 30 of vote getters. Okay, so Mallory, with the number one pick in the all-time underrated player draft, where are you going?
Okay, so I'm going to start with a man because I think that my team of men are a lot weaker than my team of women, unfortunately. So I'm going to make my number one choice, the winner of Survivor Africa, Ethan Zahn.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. He was on my board.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think... arguably, he is one of the most popular and the most well-liked players to ever win the game. So I think that really put him to the top for me. You know, at the beginning of the game, he made a tight alliance with Lex and Big Tom, and then later Kim Johnson. And even after a tribe switch that took his alliance members, Lex and Tom, away from him, he still made it to the end, was so likable that he defeated Kim Johnson in a 5-2 vote.
Just to reset, did I set up exactly what we're looking for here in this draft, the person that could win a season? Basically, the instructions I gave these guys was, if these 32 people that we're going to draft today went back to go play Survivor, this is like sort of like a like in the MLB All-Star game, where if the person who hits a home run, you win a million dollars. That's what this is. So if you pick the right person that wins the season of 32 players of Survivor underrated players, you win $1 million. So it doesn't matter who's on your team. You could pick two people that hate each other on your tribe. You are just looking for the person that you are putting your money on, that this is the person that's going to win the all underrated player version of Survivor. The fact that Ethan is a former winner, did that come into consideration at all for you? Did you think that that would be a problem for him?
I don't think it would be a problem for Ethan. I know he was like targeted in All-Stars for being a former winner. Tina was targeted before him, but I think it's been enough time that if it was a new season, then I think hypothetically he could go far pretty under the radar.
I agree. It seems like that was not an issue anymore in 2013 for Tina. I don't think it'd be an issue for Ethan, her Saboga tribe mate.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Great pick to start off the draft. Did you guys have Ethan on your board?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he was my number one pick.
Number one pick on the board.
The scouts are scrambling right now.
Scouts are scrambling. Ethan, Ethan's underrated.
Ethan's great. If Ethan were to go back on Survivor, I'd be very worried about Ethan. He is definitely one of the most likable winners this game has ever seen. He's an underrated player. I think he's got a really sharper mind than a lot of people give him credit for. I think people remember him for being a great athlete with a great heart, but he is very good at the game. So I'm tip my hat to you. Ethan is a fantastic choice.
Yeah, Ethan was voted number 39 in the overall rankings by the voters of the top 20. Antonio, is that something that makes you mad also?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at you, Malcolm. I'm looking at you, Spencer. And I'm looking at you, Ozzy, specifically. The three of you in the top 20, and Ethan's in there at 39. I mean, that's just this side of ridiculous to think that we have a winner. And not only that, he was the winner on Survivor All-Stars who lasted the longest. He was specifically drafted in Survivor All-Stars when his tribe dissipated because they wanted to keep an eye on him because he was seen as the biggest threat possibly to win the game. And despite all that, he made it through as, I think, the last winner to be voted out. He's incredibly likable. I mean, this guy's got, you know, underrated written all over him for being that low on the board.
Okay. All right, Antonio, it is your pick here at number 2 overall.
Well, this is tough because I really wanted Ethan, and my scouts are very upset. Hey, he's got great hair. What can I say? My scouts were very upset that he's no longer on the board. So doing some scrambling and with the contingency that we have to pick someone that we think can win the game, I'm going to go with someone I know can win the game because they've done it before. I'm going to go with Survivor Panama's winner, Otis Bushkowskis.
Oh, that's a good pick. Otis, congratulations to Otis. Now, Otis was voted by the RHAP voters number 35, so a couple of spots ahead of Ethan, just outside the top 30. And I think Otis, I think he took a little bit of a beating to the reputation after Blood versus Water. Could be in a good spot now.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Otis that you have to ask yourself is if he were asked back to play Survivor in a hypothetical underrated player season like this, if Survivor and CBS casting somehow decided that the next season of Survivor they were going to cast would be based on the votes of this draft, you have to ask yourself, would Otis have learned from his experience on Blood versus Water? And I think unequivocally the answer would be yes. He's a very humble guy. He seems very self-aware. He knows how to fit in with people. He picked the right alliance in Survivor Panama, obviously, by aligning with Suri and playing his cards right. He obviously, even though he's young, handsome, you know, good in challenges, that kind of thing, the kind of person that would be targeted, he's managed to not necessarily be targeted for that reason. On Blood versus Water, of course, he was targeted as, quote, King Otis, and he was seen as sort of detached, and he really got kind of taken down for some of the things that I don't think are the mistakes he would make again. They didn't target him necessarily for being a former winner. That didn't really seem to play into the equation. So I think he's smart enough to learn from that experience, and I think he'd be very good in another season.
Okay. All right. Did you guys have Otis on your board?
I did have Otis on my board, but I didn't have him high on my board. So I'm okay with this. I'm all right with this.
Do you think Antonio reached for Otis in round one?
I think Aris as the second pick overall is a little bit of a reach. I love Aris. I think he's amazing. I was very high on him going into Blood versus Water. Panama is one of my favorite Survivor seasons of all time. But I feel like, I don't know, I I guess I'd be curious to see how he would play again after Blood versus Water and kind of being really unaware of just how dangerous he was and having really no sense that people were coming for him. Maybe he's going to be a little more paranoid if he comes back. And if he can find some killer instinct, then I like the pick. But number two, I don't know, Antonio. I don't know, buddy.
All right.
We'll see what happens at number three, Josh. Let's see.
And of course, I what I'd like to do is have there be polling up after this. So maybe I'll talk to the tabulator and see if he can set something up real quick to see who the voters think drafted the most underrated team, the best underrated team. All right, Josh, you go next here with your first pick at one, round one, pick three.
Sure. Well, you guys are picking winners. I'm not going to not pick a winner. I'm not going to be the only one who doesn't pick somebody who's one survivor in this first round, but I'm going to pick a lady. I'm going to go the lady route, and I'm going to pick someone who is very similar, in my opinion, to my favorite player of all time, who is Kim Spradlin, who is obviously ineligible here. I'm going to go with Danny Boatwright.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Good pick. Took her off my board.
All right. I'm going to go with Danny. I feel like, you know, Danny talks about or has talked about how she would go back to Survivor only if she could play a winter season, I believe is something that she has said in the past. And that sounds like, in you know, that really sounds like courting disaster for a lot of people. I put a lot of money on Danny winning an all winter season. I think people would really snooze on just how dangerous she is. There was no reason she should have been allowed to go as far as she went in Guatemala. She showed the killer instinct in the end by, you know, reneging on the Rafe deal, even though Rafe made that very easy for her in the end. And she's a challenge beast. She's awesome at challenges. She's a great social player. She's great in challenges. She has a great head on her shoulders. I think Danny, I'm very happy with that pick.
Reactions?
Yeah, I think it's a great pick. I actually went with a male pick because I think there are a lot of excellent female players here. So I'll be interested to see, because I know Mallory had expressed that she as well had a lot of deep female players on her board. So I'm upset not to have Danny on my team, but I think there's plenty of good female players out there, and actually probably in terms of being underrated, more underrated female players than there are males. So I'm upset to see her go, but I felt the need to pull a male player with my first pick. So there we go.
Okay. All right. It's my pick here at round one, pick four. And I think that I'm going to be the first person to go with a non-winner here in round one. And I'm going to go with a woman. And one of my personal favorites, both as a viewer and as a person, I'm going to go with the two-time Survivor player. I'll take Kathy Vavrick O'Brien. How about that?
Good pick. Good pick.
Number 50 overall on the list. By the way, Danny Boatwright was at number 42 overall.
I love Kathy VO. Big fan of Kathy.
Now, Kathy, I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to get an age check on Kathy at this point in 2014. But she's a tough lady. She's has a very strong social game. She was a little bit of a mess in the beginning of Marquesas. She got her act together. She figured it out. She was a big fan favorite. She was set up really well in the All-Stars. And then we all know how that worked out. But I feel like the show kind of moved on from Kathy. But I feel like, nobody is coming after Kathy in the Survivor underrated season.
And if they do, she's going to pee on them.
that's not a bad way to go. So I'm going to go with KVO here at the end of round one. Now round two starts, and for round two, I need to pick a male player here. I have back-to-back picks. And this is tough here because there's a lot of different ways to go. I kind of see the board a little bit differently. I feel like I think that there's a lot of men on the board that I feel like are underrated and that I want to grab. So maybe this is an opportunity for me that I have a differing opinion from you guys. But I'm going to go with pick number five. Round two, pick one. How about somebody who I think it's been a real problem that they've never had this guy back? I hope you guys are about to call the Whambulance when you see my pick of, how about Terry Dietz?
Ah, love Terry Dietz.
Mr. Dietz.
He was high on my list for sure.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right, so I'm going to go with Mr. Dietz. He's a challenge beast. He was basically Tom Westman's understudy, I feel like. They called back Tom Westman for Heroes versus Villains. Maybe if Tom Westman passes, they bring in Terry Dietz for that, and he goes further in the game than Tom was able to. Seems like a really nice guy. Terry D, I'm going to take here with the first pick of round two.
My only problem with Terry is his social game, as we saw out there in Panama. I think that, you know, he tends to be a little over the top, a little arrogant, rubs some people the wrong way. I think he's a brilliant Survivor player other than that and seems like a really nice guy in real life, but he's competitive in a way that I think rubs people the wrong way. But I can't fault the pick, and Terry is one of my all-time favorite Survivors, so I am a fan. Good choice.
Okay. All right, Josh.
I'm also bad because you did not take who I'm going to pick.
Okay. I have a guess who you're going to take, but you tell me who it is.
Well, the person I'm going to pick, he was involved in what I have labeled as a top 10 Survivor move of all time. From a recent season of Survivor, not a winner of Survivor, but a winner of Big Brother, Hayden Moss.
It's a good pick. There you go. Hayden Moss. Everybody is getting markers out. Mallory is crossing things off. She's shaking her head. Antonio, does this upset your draft board?
He was definitely on it. That's for sure. I mean, I'm a big fan of Hayden. I think that he did everything he possibly could. So my draft board is certainly upset. But Josh, I'm interested in your thoughts of, you know, would Hayden be a pretty big, you know, targeted player? Isn't he the kind
Definitely.
Of guy that can stand out?
100%. And that would be my big fear about Hayden, is that he really is such an obvious target because he is so powerful. He's smart. He's likable. He's athletic. I would be very afraid to play against Hayden Moss. Then again, I imagine that a sea of 19 returning players were very afraid to go up against somebody like Parvati Shallow back in Heroes versus Villains. And I could see Hayden being the smart enough, savvy enough player to get that far, to do another deep run, to really make it close to the end. So I am nervous about that aspect of Hayden, but I would bet on Hayden. I think that he is talented enough, and frankly, I'm surprised that he didn't, you know, come closer to the top 20. The fact that he's in the 40s really surprised me.
Yeah, number 44
when I saw
overall
this.
For Hayden.
Yeah,
Moss.
That I think is a shocker when you have Coach Benjamin Wade at 32 or wherever he is on the board,
32.
And you have Hayden in the 40s. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong with that picture. So I'll pick Hayden every day of the week over Coach.
Okay, it's a strong pick. Now, Josh, so you have Danny Boatwright and Hayden Moss here in the first two rounds. Are you worried your team could be top heavy and you wouldn't be able to have as good of people on the bottom of your team?
No.
Okay.
All right. I'm not.
Antonio, pick number 7 overall falls to you. You selected in round 1, you selected Otis, so you must select a woman here.
Yeah, and I'm going to go, you know, my strategy for my team still has to be, if we're drafting for players that we think could win Survivor, I want to pick people who I know can win Survivor, and not necessarily by accident, but because of affirmative moves on their own. So I'm going to take the sole survivor from Survivor Marquesas, the Sepia Towery.
Ooh.
That's a good pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
What stood out to you of the remaining winners that are out there? Why go with the Sepia?
I think the Sepia has this ability to fly under the radar. I mean, if you think about what happened with her, she basically got into a situation where there was that tribe switch and she was moved to the rival tribe and she was on the outs. She was flying under the radar. So she has this social game where she's able to play this. I know that she got a lot of criticism at the final tribal for, you know, kind of appearing to be one way and coming off the other way. But she made some moves at the end of the game that put her in a position to really win that final tribal, knowing that there would be some knocks on her. So I think she's smart enough to at least have some perception of how she was being perceived in the game, especially late game. Fly under the radar when it was necessary, make the moves that she needed to make to get herself in the position to win. I don't know that she would necessarily be targeted, which is good for my team. I don't think she's going to kill the team in terms of challenge strength, although she's not a beast like other players, I don't think. But, you know, I'm pretty happy with having her on my team because I'm confident that she knows how to do what she needs to do when she get, you know, and how to get where she needs to get.
Okay. Proto Sandra.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Vesepia was number 49 overall. Okay, so that goes to Antonio. And now we're back to you, Mallory. You chose a male player here at the with the top pick in the draft. At number, you will have a 8 and 9, so technically you'll need to select a woman first, but then a male after that. Or whatever you want after that.
Okay. So for my next pick, my first woman, I don't know if she could win, but I have to pick her as my number one because she's one of my favorite players of all time, and that is Stephanie LaGrossa.
Ooh. Okay. She came close one time.
Yeah, she has a really good record, you know, in her first season.
And she lost to my pick.
Exactly, yeah. But she's, you know, physically dominant. I just remember watching her tribe get decimated, and then she was the only one on the island. And then even though she kind of got absorbed into another tribe, she still made it to, I think, day 30. And then her return in Guatemala, she made it to the final tribal council. And I just think she's a really great player. I'm kind of ignoring the heroes versus villains shoulder dislocation incident, but I think she's one of the strongest and definitely most underrated female players.
Okay. So Stephanie comes in on our list at, she was number 36 overall, one behind Otis. So there you go. All right. So Mallory, round three, kick it off. Where are you going?
All right. So I guess I'll go with a man for this one. Oh, man. Okay. Controversial choice, but I think I'm going to go with Troy-Zan.
Troy-Zan.
Yeah.
Wow. Was this, Antonio, is this a reach here? Troy-Zan here with only 8 picks off the board.
Hey, I haven't heard her explanation, so I can't say it's a reach. I'd love to hear what the thinking is behind the pick. You know, sometimes you get somebody that's picked late in the, early in the draft like this. You gotta hear what they have to say about it. So, Mallory, why Troy-Zan here?
You know what? I'm actually not sure.
Oh no!
I think he's kind of like a more low key coach, and I think if he was to return, he's kind of the goofy guy, but I just don't think he'd be targeted. Like, I feel like there'll be other stronger men on the tribe other than Troy-Zan, and I think he'll just skate by for a while.
I keep going back to the One World reunion where Troy-Zan is asked about what's his experience been like since being off the island and being on the show. And he was talking about how people would come up to him on the streets comparing him to Richard Hatch.
Mallory, was that you?
It was not me.
Oh.
I feel like there's no way that anybody came up to him on the street and compared him to Richard Hatch. That feels like a delusion of grandeur. It seems to me like somebody who doesn't have perspective on his place in the game. That really makes me worried because Troy-Zan is no Richard Hatch. So I'd be worried about him getting to the finals. I would be very worried about him getting to the finals. And if he got there, I'd be worried about his argument.
He may have been compared to Richard Hatch, just not favorably.
Maybe that's possible.
Was he naked? Is that what it was?
You're no Richard Hatch is a comparison, right?
You're totally naked right now, like Richard Hatch.
All right.
I just think he's one of these people that might do better on their second go round. I just think that he's physical and he's also likable enough to go the distance.
He's got to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Intense. Tone it down.
You can't claim ownership of the island right away. That would be difficult.
Okay. All right. So that was pick number 9 in the draft. Pick number 10 goes to Antonio. Antonio, you are free to choose a male or a female player. By the way, Troy-Zan, the lowest player off the board so far, he was number 95 in the overall rankings.
Well, I'm happy that Troy-Zan was taken because I am going to go with a male with my pick. And I was worried my pick wouldn't be there. In fact, I was so worried that I was getting an upset stomach. And I was worried that upset stomach was going to have to make me forfeit this pick. Just like an upset stomach had to force my pick to forfeit the final immunity challenge, I'm going with the third place finisher from Survivor Africa and also participant in Survivor All-Stars, Lex Vandenberg.
Okay, I thought you were going with Bruce Kennegai for a moment.
There's been a lot of upset stomachs, apparently, but no, I'm going with Lex. I think
great pick here.
Yeah, I think Mallory's discussion about what a player will learn from and what moves they'll make in the next season, it definitely applies not only to my first pick in Otis, but also to this pick in Lex. Obviously, Lex has the notorious example of the move that he made with Boston Rob and Amber following him around and kind of hanging over him. So the question is, would Lex come out and kind of overplay, be a little too cutthroat, a little too killer as a result of that move, or would it be able to be chill? And I think Lex would be able to be pretty chill with it. His strategy on All-Stars seemed to be to tell everybody exactly what was happening when they were going to be voted out. And despite all of that, there didn't seem to be as much drama with that. So I think that Lex is a player capable of playing a very good social game and learning from mistakes he's made in the past. I do think it's about time he was asked back, and I think he would be a very capable player of winning any kind of season that he was put into.
Okay. Lex is off the board at number 10. All right. Josh.
Hard to argue with that. Lex was my favorite Survivor by far during that era of Survivor. He's the man. So, and I would like to think that the All-Stars experience would inform him on how to play Survivor in a future season. I think that would be instructive.
Okay. Here we go. Josh, your pick in round 3, you're free to go any direction you choose.
Sure. Well, I am also of the mind that I think that there are a lot of very, 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 very good Survivor players on the women's side of the aisle. And I think that the male players is a little bit thinner. So I want to get somebody who I like a lot, somebody who is close to somebody who's already been picked, somebody is close to somebody that I have picked, and somebody who I have actually interviewed on this very podcast. I'm going to take Vetus.
Oh, okay. That's a very strong pick.
I like it.
Hey, Vetus was at number 55 overall for Josh.
Gotta take Vetus. I think Vetus is the superior Bushkowskis brother in Survivor gameplay. I think that he has a way with words. Wow. He has physical ability. He is a little more cutthroat than his brother Aris. He just doesn't quite have the resume that Aris has. I also have the same fear that I have with Hayden, that going back, he is a threat. I would be very scared to play against Vetus, but I also get the sense that he is a charming enough dude that he can turn some of those fears off. So I like Vetus, and as my third pick, I'm very, very pleased with Vetus.
Okay, it's a good pick. Good pick. He was on my board. I might have taken him here with one of my two picks here. And yeah, he probably would have been one of my two picks. So good job by Josh Wiggler. All right. So the board comes back to me. Pick number 12 overall. Round 3, pick 4. I can do whatever I want here. My board is running thin on some of the women I want on my draft board. So I am going to go with my... one of my best women available here. I'm going to go with somebody who had a very strong run in their first season, got overshadowed a little bit on the second time through. I'm going to go with Amy Cusack at 54 on the overall poll. She was a physical threat. She had a good social game. She had a lot of people following her. I think she was a triple threat. And I think she's gotten a little overshadowed here. So give me Amy Cusack here in round 3.
Completely off my radar.
Number 54 overall. Any other thoughts on Amy Cusack?
She's great. She's great. She had a rough go of it in Micronesia. That was very sad to see. She really ran the table for a while in season 9. I would love to see Amy back on Survivor. I thought she was a fantastic player.
Okay. All right. So now I will lead off round number 4 here. And a lot of different ways that I could go here to kick off round number 4. I have to choose a male player, and this is a tough pick, but I'm going to go with somebody else who I think has gotten a little overlooked. Somebody who I think could come back and be a Cochran, and maybe even a better version of Cochran. How about Rafe Judkins? I'm going to take him with the first pick in round 4. He was number 83 overall.
Took him right off my board.
Okay.
took him right off my board. That's frustrating.
So, writing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He's right. Well, maybe he wouldn't come back to Survivor. Maybe he would just try to go back to Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. So that is going to be
gotta tell us why Coulson's still alive.
All right. So, yeah, much like Cochran, that he is a writer, too. So I'm going to take Amy Cusack at the end of round three and give me Rafe at the start of round four. And Josh, we come back to you, and the choice will be a female.
And without introduction, it will be Miss Tasha Fox.
Tasha Fox.
Miss Tasha Fox.
Okay.
Challenge Beast, obviously a brain, great social game. You know, she's only played once, and she played recently. I think the fact that it's so fresh in her mind, I think, is very good. I love me some Tasha.
Okay. Tasha Fox. She was number 38 overall.
Yeah, and I would have felt pretty comfortable with her buddy Spencer being around there. Him being in the top 20, I think that was recency bias. I feel like Spencer's great top 20 Survivor player, I'm not so sure. But this top 40 for Tasha Fox, I could see her being around there, and I could see her buddy Spencer being there too. So I feel like this is a good value pick.
Okay. Decent value there in round four, Tasha Fox at number 38. So good job there by Josh Wiggler. Okay, let's go to Antonio with Antonio. You now get to pick here in round four, pick number three. In the previous round, you chose Lex, so you'll need a female player here.
Right, and the very unfortunate thing about this is that Tasha was absolutely at the top of my board at the current moment.
Sorry, buddy.
It's all right.
You'll have to find somebody who is left over.
That's very clever. Unfortunately, I'm lost. I wanted Tasha because I think the arrow is pointing up. I want to try to take people that the arrow is pointing up on
the rise.
People who if they were cast in another season of Survivor would do better in that season than they had done previously and would be able to make a go of it. Presuming that this sort of season is going to be the season where these players are playing with other players, I'm disinclined to take the player who's next on my draft board because I think that that player would have a very difficult time fitting in. So I'm gonna reach a little bit here. And I'm going to go with somebody who has basically evolved as a Survivor player, and I think given another opportunity might be able to assimilate even more. And I'm going to take the original Survivor female villain. I'm going to take Jeri Manthe.
Jeri Manthe.
I love it.
Okay.
Love that. You know what, Antonio, your logic about players where the arrow is pointing up, this fits totally. Jeri, I think, is a player who has gotten so much better, and if she had been allowed to get to that final three, we may be looking at Jeri Manthe as a winner of Survivor of Heroes versus Villains. I think Jerry's awesome. I wonder if that still holds today, if she were to come back, you know, however many seasons.
Would she still be awesome?
Would she still be, you know, in that groove? But she was great in Heroes versus Villains. I salute that pick. She was definitely high on my board.
Yeah, we've seen so many different shades of Jeri, and the shades, in my opinion, keep getting more appealing in terms of her ability to win the game. So it seems to me that she's learning from her experience. She very famously, of course, got booed on stage at a reunion show. She still came back, and when she came back, she came back for a little bit of redemption. And you know, I think her biggest problem on Heroes versus Villains is she wasn't necessarily in it to win it. She was in it to get a, you know, finish higher than Colby. Then she was in it to, you know, get as far as she could. But if she had come back with a little bit more of the killer instinct, I think she could have made some moves. She's certainly smart enough too. So I'm happy with the pick here because I think that she can assimilate and do better even than she did before.
Okay. All right. So, we have one more pick here in round four, and that goes back to Mallory. And Mallory, in the top of round three, you famously took Troy's land.
I'm nervous.
Now you're
nervous. I'm really nervous. But
you'll need to pick a female here.
My list is bad. Oh, my gosh. Okay, female. I'm really struggling to decide. I feel like I have a lot of great people. So I am just going to go with my gut. She played one time. She made it very far. And I think if she comes back, she will have that killer instinct. I'm going to go with Natalie Bolton from Survivor Micronesia.
Natalie Bolton. Okay.
Yes. Right.
So Natalie Bolton, why do you feel like Natalie Bolton would go far in her second time around?
Well, I think she was one of the only fans to actually kind of align with the power players, Parvati and Amanda. She did that very late in the game. She made it very far for a fans versus favorite season. She's very good at manipulating the men on her season, which we saw, and even manipulating Parvati a little bit. And most notably, she tricked Eric Reichenbach into giving the immunity necklace up. So I'd be really excited to see her on her second go. I feel like it's kind of like an Andrea transformation that would happen. She'll become more strategic on her second go round.
Okay. So Natalie Bolton here, she is at number 77 overall on the board. So there you go. So that is Natalie Bolton. Now, before we get to the back half of the draft, let's just reset here everybody's top four picks so far. All right, Mallory, your team is, you started off with Ethan, then you went with Stephanie LaGrossa, Troyzan, and Natalie Bolton. Are you feeling good about these four players, one of them winning the game and you winning $1 million?
I'm feeling the best about Ethan, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Josh.
I'm not sure how I feel.
Ethan's awesome. I love Ethan.
Your team right now consists of Danny Boatwright, Hayden, Vetus, and Tasha Fox. That's a very strong squad so far.
I love my squad. No regrets.
Antonio, right now, you have Aris, Vesepia, Lex, and then Jerry Manthe, old school squad.
Yeah, I mean, I think Otis, having heard that he was called the lesser of the two Bushkowskis brothers when it comes to survivor skills by Josh, is going to be fueled on by that motivation. And we're going to see Otis 2.0 here, and lead a dominant tribe here.
Okay. And then my team, I have Terry Dietz. Then I also, I'm sorry, it's Kathy Vavrick O'Brien, Terry Dietz in the second round. Then Amy Cusack and Rafe. So those are my four players there so far in the underrated player draft. And of course, we'll give everybody an option to vote at the end of this podcast. Before we get to the bottom half of this draft and the start of round five, I want to take a moment and thank the sponsor of today's podcast. And those are our friends over at Hulu Plus. And everybody knows on Hulu Plus, you can watch the back catalog of many Survivor seasons and research all of the underrated players for your own underrated player draft, because everybody's tried Hulu on their computer, but Hulu Plus is much more. With Hulu Plus, you can watch episodes of your favorite shows like Modern Family, The Daily Show, and Scandal. I know Antonio loves Scandal.
Big fan of Scandal, Rob. Big fan of Scandal.
Scandal's great.
And you can watch every episode of other shows like Nashville, Lost, and even Doctor Who, and get ad-free movies and kids' shows, too. So now more than ever, there's so much more to watch. Take control of your Hulu Plus to stream thousands of shows as much as you want, wherever you want, on your smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, PlayStation, or any other device you own. You can even watch Hulu Plus on your phone or iPad while on the train, at work, at the dentist, or in the bathroom. I think that's dangerous, though. I'd be scared.
You'd be in there for a while.
I may have done all of those things to catch up on Scandal via Hulu Plus.
You'll also get to watch the originals that you can't watch anywhere else. You can watch the show Deadbeat, a comedy about a pot-smoking guy who talks to ghosts. You can watch all 10 episodes for only $7.99 a month, anytime, anywhere. That's only like a quarter a day. So right now, sign up at HuluPlus.com/Rob and get 2 weeks for free. That's a whole extra week more with this offer. When you sign up at HuluPlus.com/ROB, get it and start streaming now with Hulu Plus. And we are streaming right along here in our draft. Okay, it's the first pick of the fifth round. And Mallory, we are back to you at pick number 5.1 in the underrated player draft. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it's going to get really tough.
Yeah, so do I have to do a woman or a man on this
one?
You
can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want, because in the odd number rounds, you get the choice. In the even number rounds, you have to do the opposite of what you did in the odd number round.
Okay, so I'm just going to stick with my women on this one. I actually had a list of seven, and I'm going off the board a little bit here. But I am going to choose She-Ann.
She-Ann?
Ooh.
Yes. Oh,
She-Devil.
The She-Devil.
She-Ann. And I know, like, she was in All-Stars. She went pretty far in Survivor All-Stars, her second go-around. I think she would have gone far in Survivor Thailand, where she originally appeared, but she really got screwed over by the whole two tribes living on one beach trick that Jeff pulled on them. So I really feel good. Shan's kind of under-the-radar player, but I think she could come back and be a really cutthroat player.
But isn't falling for a trick a bad thing?
It's very bad. But I think that was the first time that anything like that has been done, like that big of a trick has been pulled on the survivors. So I don't blame her too much for that.
Okay. She-Ann actually was back-to-back with Natalie Bolton, 77 and 78 for She-Ann. So there you go. Back-to-back picks there for Mallory. Did you guys have She-Ann on your board?
She-Ann was not on my board, but I do like the pick, thinking about it. I feel like She-Ann, I'd be interested to see her play today. I really would. I'd be curious to see how she would do. She obviously had a mind for the game. I think she got a little greedy in Thailand, and the numbers were not on her side back in All-Stars. But, you know, she's won an immunity. She's got, I think she's got a good head on her shoulders. I'd be curious to see her play again.
Yeah, she wasn't on my board, but I wouldn't count her out. I mean, she's got a pretty strong heart for the game. So even when things aren't necessarily in her favor, she's obviously not someone who gives up, and she really wants to be respected. And in All-Stars, she did a little bit of kind of spiking the football in times when she felt like she was doing better than she was being given credit for. But I think that's because she really was fighting very hard to do well. So props to her, and I think that if she played again, she would fight just as hard.
Okay. All right. There's She-Ann off the board. Overall, number 17 off the board. Okay, let's go to Antonio. Your first pick in round 5 in the underrated player draft.
So this is a big risk for me because the player that I want to take is somebody who is kind of a wild card if they were to come back to Survivor again. This player is obviously outside the top 30, but is somebody based on my team strategy who I know can win the game because they have won the game before. This is a male player. This male player is not perhaps as good of a mind effer as Tom Westman, but has participated in similar antics to get himself further in the game, specifically near the end game. He is somehow a shocking challenge beast, winning several challenges in an unexpected way. I'm talking about the winner of Survivor Gabon, Mr. Bob Crowley.
Bob Crowley, Mr. Crowley.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob was I think at the time was the old and may still be the oldest Survivor winner. So coming back, he's going to be even older. But I'm not willing to count Bob out of anything.
All right, Bob is at number 48 overall in our poll. Okay, Mr. Crowley. So Josh, what do you think of the pick?
Mr. Crowley was not on my board. I don't know. I don't know that Bob has what it takes to get to the end without some help. I feel like his game, and it's been a while since I've seen Gabon, but it feels to me like he got there through the help of others rather than his own volition. And, you know, maybe the time since he's played, he's perfected some skills, but I don't know. I'm not the biggest Bob fan out there. And I love the guy as a human being because he reminds me of my father-in-law, but I don't care for him as much as a Survivor player.
In my mind, Bob is the guy who's smart enough to know when he needs help, and then he's smart enough to know how to get it. I mean, he's the guy who's creating fake immunity items. He's the guy who's anticipating, you know, these ties at Tribal Council and
bow ties.
And the bow ties, exactly, and sharpening his fire building skills. You know, he's the guy who's convincing people, you know, to vote, you know, in a way that favors him. He's smart enough to know that he can't get by on just strength, and he can't get by on, you know, on things that maybe other players can. So the guile that he showed in getting where he got and how he got, to me, is the kind of guile I think would be needed in a season like this that would be full of returning players. Bob's also not a guy, you know, if he can can make it to the merge, he's not a guy you're going to immediately target. So he may be able to get a little further in the game as a result of that. And I think he can fly under the radar enough that he could get himself in a position to win.
It's pretty guiley. Pretty guiley, Bob Crowley. Okay, let's go here to Josh in round five, okay? The 19th pick off the board. You're free to choose a male or a female player.
I'm going to choose Miss Survivor. Andrea's coming with me.
That's a good pick. Although, Antonio, do you have qualms with Miss Survivor at number 19 overall in this draft?
I don't have qualms with her at this position. I wouldn't necessarily have picked her. She's not somebody who was even on my board. I like Andrea as a person. In the game of Survivor, she appears to be incredibly insecure, and that sort of insecurity really dooms her to the point where she gets herself convinced that she's okay because of her insecurity. She talks to people. She gets lied to. She's constantly worried and on edge. I just feel like in a season like this, we've seen her play with returning players before, and it didn't go well for her. So I'm interested, Josh, why you think the arrow might be pointing up for Miss Survivor.
I think that she has a lot of the skills that it takes to win Survivor. She's good in the social game. She's got a good head on her shoulders. She's good in challenges. And I think she now has the two experiences of playing very differently. She played as a sheep on her first round. She was one of Boston Rob's many goats. On round two, I think she got a little comfortable. She thought that she was running the ship, and she was not running the ship. So I think that those two experiences, much like what I said about your pick with Lex, is I think that will be instructive if she goes back to play a Survivor. I think she will be the flags will be up sooner. I think she'll have a better sense of when danger is coming. So I feel good about Andrea, certainly at this point in the draft, too. I wouldn't have picked her earlier than this.
That's great
but
value.
At this point in the draft, I think it's good value.
Yeah, I think it's good value.
Andrea was number 37 overall. That's a strong value there for Miss Survivor. Okay. It's to me. I get two picks in a row here. Okay. So I'm feeling good about what's left on my draft board. I am going to I'm going to start with a male and then come back with a female. And I don't know. Some people might not love the pick, but I feel like it's really good value here at number 31. Overall, I'm going to take Colby Donaldson
because
he's on the board. And yeah, did Colby have a great run in his last time on the show? No, he did not. Should he be defined solely by that? I'm not sure. It did seem like in Heroes vs. Villains, his heart wasn't in the game. But this is a guy, if we would have done a poll after Survivor 7 and we said, who are the top five players to play the game? This is a guy that's going to get strong consideration in that top five. And, you know, he may or may, again, I got to see what his attitude is. I want to talk to him before he goes back and make sure his heart's in it and he's not thinking about Top Shot or whatever. But Colby's 40 now. Okay. This is not like the, 28-year-old guy or however old he was in Survivor, the Australian Outback. He's going to have some gray in his hair. He is the older cowboy now. Maybe he's even like the, the father figure, in the group. Maybe not that far, but, I think with wisdom or with age is going to bring some wisdom for Colby. And I wouldn't bet against Colby here to come back on time number four in Survivor Underrated.
No, I think that is a very good pick. I would have loved to have Colby on my squad. I felt like it was a little bit early for him. I also felt like maybe you guys weren't going to pick Colby because of Heroes versus Villains, so he would have been one of my last picks.
He was falling. He fell in this draft.
Colby is fantastic. Again, like back in that day of Survivor in the Australian Outback, my all-time favorite Survivor in those days. Him and Lex were really my two guys, so I'm happy to see them still in the competition in this draft.
Okay. All right. So here we go. First pick of round number six, okay? Overall, that was pick number 20. I'll go pick number 21 here. This person is going to be the lowest person that's been selected here, but I felt like I could let her slide here because I felt like that maybe she was buried far enough down the board here. But this is somebody who I think has always been criminally underrated, and she should know because she prosecutes criminals all the time. I'm going to go with Dina Bennett from Survivor the Amazon at number 130 overall. Dina Bennett.
Rob, what do you know about Dina Bennett, Rob? Come on.
She was good.
Dina's great.
She was good. She got carried away. And I think that whatever lessons she needed to learn in the Amazon, I think she learned them. And I think she's got to, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. And I think as sort of a, you know, definitely now older and again, wiser, I think Dina would do well and not be a target in anybody's mind.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think it would take her a little while before she got onto people's radar. I hope she's up for the challenges. If she's up for that and she survives to the merge, I'm very afraid of Dina.
As you should be. Very tough customer, Dina. Okay. So we now go back to you, Josh. You took Miss Survivor in the fifth round. That means you will need to take a male player.
Sure. And I'll take another blonde bombshell and another winner of Survivor. I'm going to take Fabio.
Whoa! Fabio in the sixth round of the underrated player draft. So Fabio was at number 51 overall.
You know, Fabio, Fabio is a risk, obviously, because I don't know what's in his mind most of the time. Or, you know, it's not good stuff is going on up there sometimes. But he's hilarious. He's endearing. People like him. People like being around him. He's an asset in the pre-merge phase of the game. He's somebody you want to keep around because he can help you win those challenges. He's somebody who's not going to have a ton of opinions on his own, so he's moldable. So if you're a power player, Fabio is somebody you want to bring around and have in your pocket for a little while. The thing I worry about with Fabio is is he ever able to turn it on and realize that he's being dragged along? When does he strike out on his own? When he strikes out on his own, does he have a plan other than win all of the immunities? But hey, he's won all of the immunities before and he has won the game of Survivor, and I feel pretty good about having Fabio here.
All right, there's Fabio at number 22 overall. Antonio, you like the pick?
I don't hate the pick because, you know, I'm picking teams mostly based on the fact that they're proving that they can win Survivor. And we know Fabio has done it. Granted, he did it in such a way that basically required him to win immunity after immunity. And he also had to not hurt himself, which he seemed very prone to be doing throughout the early part of the season. He's also seemingly, with his Survivor win, just skateboarded and drank and who knows what. So I'm not sure what state Fabio is going to be in when he comes into the game. But, you know, this is a guy who won the game, and he won the game doing exactly what Josh said, flying under the radar until the merge. At the merge, he's likable. He becomes a threat, and right when he becomes a real threat and he's the target, he starts winning. So as long as he can turn it on like that again, I wouldn't count him out.
Okay. All right. Let's go to you, Antonio. Your pick here in round six. You chose Bob Crowley in round five, so you will need a female player.
Okay, I'm going to make an unpopular pick here. But I have to make the pick I have to make because I have pretty strong opinions favorably about this person. They're a three-time Survivor player. We know when people come back for a fourth time, they usually do pretty well in the game. So I have good optimism that this person will have learned from some previous appearances on the show. Most recently on the season when we saw her last, she was kind of a last-minute addition. She didn't have the opportunity to make inroads, and as a result, she was hamstrung from the beginning of the game. She fought hard. She competed hard. She's not always popular on the show, but she's popular with me. I think she's a good player. I'm talking Dr. Candace Cody, three-time Survivor. I need somebody who's going to be good in challenges here, and I'm confident that with her experience on previous Survivors, she's seen and done just about everything you can do in the game. So I'm confident that she can do well in another season.
Okay.
She's on my zombie team.
We know that that Josh is a fan of both the Codys, Candace and Dr. John Cody. Mallory, do you like the selection of Candace Cody here?
Yeah, she was definitely next on my list. Oh. I love Candace. Yeah, I love Candace. The only hesitation is that she's been so, I guess, disliked in the game, or at least from what we've seen on the show. But I love Candace. Every time I feel like she gets a little bit better.
Okay. A little bit better, a little bit softer, maybe. She's got to not be giving people the finger and the F you Brad Culpeppers and all that stuff. She's got to tone that down, Antonio.
She does have to tone that down. Although I think at that point she kind of felt like, well, at this point I have nothing to lose. So she's got to be a little more careful with that. And I think there's a lot more to Candace than meets the eye. I mean, if you take one look at Candace, you're thinking, wow, she's a bombshell, you know, like Josh said, blonde bombshell with Fabio. I think if you actually look at her though, there's a lot more to her than that. She's made some tough moves in the game by, you know, striking out and leaving her tribe. So I think she's familiar with what it takes to make those gutsy moves, and she does have to tone it down, though, for sure.
Okay. All right, here we go. And no pranks when she goes back on the island.
Hey, if she can throw water on somebody in the shower, find shower, find cold water, go for it.
Okay. All right. Josh, here we go. Round
oh,
six.
It's not my turn.
I'm sorry. Oh, I have it backwards.
I mean, I'll take the extra pick.
Okay. So it was me, then we went with Fabio, and then Antonio to Candace, and Mallory, you select. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have to choose a guy here.
Yes.
So I'm going to pick someone who's played once, and I will actually be shocked if he's on any of your radar. And it is for that reason I'm picking Jonas from One World.
Loved One World.
I love Jonas.
That's great.
I don't know why I love One World, but yeah, Jonas, he's so under the radar. I feel like I just picture him winning the game. Like, I can just picture him winning if he comes back. He was very likable. He was clearly the best strategist on the dysfunctional Manano tribe. And his likability was his curse in the game because they just went crazy and voted him out at the merge.
I'm trying to find Jonas in the top 424 right now. The lowest player by far taken, that he is at number 293. He's the first player taken in the back half of the top 424.
Jonas is great. I love that pick. I'm surprised to see him selected here, but I love Jonas. So you get two thumbs up for me. I think Jonas is great, and if the numbers had fallen in a different way, I think Jonas could have done really well in One World.
Okay. All right. So now we have 24 players are off the board. Just a reminder that Josh and I will be talking about 24 Live Another Day live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern on Monday night on post-show recaps.
Yes.
So we are at pick number 25. Okay. Mallory, you get to go again here. You will have two more picks, okay? You'll pick one more man and one more woman. Whatever you pick here, you'll do the opposite. Only two players left. The board is drying up. There's still a lot of talent out there, though.
I'm really upset because I have to pick between two women who kind of have the same reputation, the same strategy. I won't reveal the second one in case someone else wants to pick them. But I think my next female pick, my final female pick, is going to go to Twyla Tanner.
Twyla Tanner. Okay. So tell me why Twyla Tanner, who is not somebody on my board, why do you like Twyla?
I like Twyla. I think she had a really good record in her first run and only run. She went to the final tribal council. Pretty hard to win against Chris, who had that crazy comeback. But I think she was the strongest female strategist in the game, and she came to win that season. She famously swore on her son's life to progress in the game. And I just love players that really go for it in that way.
Okay. That would be like nothing now if you swear on your kid's life.
It's true, yeah.
That would not be a big deal. So Twyla Tanner off the board. All right, very, very exciting. So you will pick a male player when we come back for the final pick of the draft at number 32, okay?
Gotcha.
Okay. All right, so let's go now to Antonio. Round seven. This is
round seven.
Crunch time.
I can pick a female or a male.
You can do whatever you want.
So am I to assume here that I'm, you know, I should fill out my tribe, that I'm going to try to need to win challenges with this tribe? Do I need to take
What they might do with all 32, they might be that they might mix up the tribes. You know, we don't know. Don't worry about the tribe dynamics. They might put everybody in a hat.
Well, you know, in a season like this, there often are tribe swaps and there is tribe mixing. I think I'm going to go with somebody who I think would do well in that circumstance, both because they seem to assimilate well into groups, because they're likable, and also because they know a lot about mixing. They know a lot about mixing because they know a lot about bread. I'm talking about two-time survivor Dawn Meehan.
Dawn Meehan. Okay. Dawn. This is an interesting pick, Antonio. All right.
So I'm picking Dawn mainly because I think Dawn has the capability, again, of flying under the radar enough and assimilating herself enough and being trustworthy that she could really get into alliances that would carry her far in the game. She's clearly smart enough to do this. She's done it in the past, and she's made some mistakes in the past not owning her game. She was criticized, obviously, heavily in the final tribal council on Survivor Karamoan for not necessarily, owning the game that she played. And I think when you've got a player like that who has managed to get themselves to the final and perhaps is in a position to do better than they did, I think that's something where I think the arrow is pointing up. And so I like Dawn's ability to get far in the game. I like Dawn's ability to assimilate no matter the situation. And if I'm doing a fantasy pick and she's in the season, I like my chances. So I'm happy with my pick of Dawn here.
Yeah, I have no doubt that Dawn could get far again. But what's going to be different this time around than Karamoan?
Well, I think Dawn maybe would have the ability to play a little bit better in terms of picking somebody who would be more hated than her to go with her. Dawn, you know, had probably the mistake was her ally was so damn likable and, you know, didn't really, was like Teflon when it came to the moves in the game. He made most of the same moves she did, but in the case of Cochran, right, he didn't get blamed for any of them. And the blame got assigned to the person who seemed to be above that fray. So I think if Dawn's smart enough, and I think she is, to latch herself onto players who can draw the heat away from her in that respect, I think she'll do better. Plus, how many survivors that are left on the board have parody Twitter accounts about their bread-making ability?
That's fair.
You're just trying to get Dawn's bread on your side. Dawn's bread has already tweeted their support for my team. You can't buy Dawn's bread.
If I could buy Dawn's bread, I absolutely would because I would eat the heck out of Dawn's bread.
I've had some. It's delicious. Whoa. Yeah. Keep it clean. Family podcast, Antonio.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to make a loaves and a fish joke. I apologize. So that Dawn is my pick. I love Dawn. I think Dawn's had some issues in the game. I think she's smart enough to overcome them, and she's proven she can get very far in the past. So I like her chances again.
Okay. All right. So let's go to Josh, the first of his final two picks.
So I've been really tempted to go for a similar type as Dawn, someone who's played a similar game in her first outing in Survivor. I think Dawn being on Karamoan, a lot of people agreed, took this person's spot. And also somebody who is somebody who's familiar on Rob has a podcast for somebody who likes to leave voicemails around here saying Holly Not Hoffman. Unfortunately, I am also saying Holly Not Hoffman. I'm not going to pick Holly.
decoy pick alert.
I really love Holly Hoffman, and I wish I had enough room on my squad for her. She would be my next female pick if not. But I am going to go with somebody who I think is even more underrated. Somebody who, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I imagine is a little bit further down the list. Someone who has only played once before. Someone who represents one of my very favorite seasons of Survivor. My sister with a voice, Taj George.
Oh, aww. Taj.
Good one.
Okay.
I'm taking Taj. I love Taj, and I think it sucks that she's never come back to Survivor.
118 overall for Taj.
I think Taj is great. I think Taj has an extraordinary amount of potential. If she had been allowed near that final two, I think it would have been a different outcome on Token Sheens. I don't know how she does on her second round. I don't know if she can beat fourth place. I'd like to see her try. I'm sad that we haven't gotten Taj back. So if only in our little fantasy Survivor, Taj George is back to play.
Mallory, did you have Taj on your board?
I had Taj on my board. I recently rewatched Token Sheens and she was up there. She's a really great player, very social, very likable. I think if she came back for the second season, she'd be even more strategic, and I think she would go far.
Now, I heard from somebody that she was carried by Stephen Fishback.
Who told you that, Rob?
I can't say. What do you make of that?
I mean, the proof for me is the whole Exile Alliance thing that almost happened and how game she was on that and how she picked the right partners to possibly be involved in that. And yeah, it never pans out, but she was hip to the flow of the game, and she was definitely on board with not going on board with that plan when Brendan kind of botched the handling of the Exile Alliance. So I don't know. I think she's got a good sense of the playing field when she's out there. I think that she has a pretty good idea of who is where and what they're up to, except obviously right there in the final round for her up at the final four. But I don't know. I like Taj. And if we're talking about underrated players, which is really very much the theme of my last two picks, I'm all aboard. I love Taj. I want to see her come back.
Okay. All right. All right, we are back to me. I'll pick two picks in a row, and then I will close down my board, okay? I could go with a man or a woman first. For no reason in particular, I will start with the male player. I will go with a guy who I feel like he got screwed over, I think, probably as bad as just about any other player in the history of the show. This guy had a chance to really win his season, and then a couple circumstances happened, which he had absolutely no control over. Mike Scoopin fell in the fire, and then the tiebreak rules at the time really squeezed this guy. I'm going to go with, from Survivor, the Australian Outback, Jeff Varner in the all-time underrated player rankings. Jeff Varner fell a lot in your own person in the top 424. He was at number 150 overall. And so I will pick him here with the 28th pick overall.
Hopefully no one is seeing him vomiting in the corner.
Oh, no.
That would be bad. I love Jeff Varner. Jeff Varner totally got screwed. Jeff Varner was on my board. I don't think he was going to make it, but he was on my board. I love Jeff.
Okay. So Jeff Varner is off the board here now at the end of round 7. And now with my final pick in the draft here, in the top of the 8th round, I will now choose a woman. And a woman who I felt like got squeezed out of Survivor All-Stars. I felt like she should have been there. She's a tough lady. She went up against one of the greatest Survivor players of all time. She's got a hell of a singing voice also. I'm going to go with Helen Glover with the first pick in the 8th round. And ooh. I am now, my board is full. So just the rundown here of Team Rob is Kathy Vavrick O'Brien, Terry Dietz, Amy Cusack, Rafe, Colby, Dina Bennett, Jeff Varner, Helen Glover.
Like the team.
Strong, yeah.
Underrated.
Helen Glover is one of my favorite female players of all time. I was referencing her kind of in the same league as Twyla. And I really am upset I didn't get to pick her. But yeah, Helen Glover, great choice.
Yeah. I think she's a little softer around the edges than Twyla.
Right.
But she's tough. Don't mess with Helen. Don't mess with her. All right.
Yeah, her biggest downfall in the game was trusting Brian, and she didn't realize that he is a complete sociopath. So that was her biggest downfall in the game.
Hey, he's good though. That's why he's good.
He's very good.
Okay. All right.
I believe Helen also on your zombie survival squad, bro.
You know I'm a big fan of Helen.
I know you are.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go to Josh here for his final pick in the draft. He chose Taj in the last round, so he will have to choose a male player.
So I'm going to pick another player that I don't know is on anybody's radar. Maybe. I hope so, because this guy's great. And another player who I believe was screwed by circumstances beyond his control, namely that he was on a fans versus favorite season as a fan, and that sucks. That's a hard position to be in, and I'm one of the people who believes that a fan can never win a fan versus favorite season. Now, put this guy on a veteran season or even a new fan versus favorite where he is one of the favorites, which unfortunately because of his position and his edit I don't think would happen, I think he would do very well. I think this player, even in an all-newbie season, I think would make it really far because he's quiet, he's calm, he's collected, he's under the radar, and winter is coming because Michael Snow is coming with me.
Oh, Michael Snow, that bastard. Okay. All right. So Mike Snow. Josh, what is it in particular that you saw about Mike Snow that made you want to reach out and pick him?
Michael Snow is great. He knows when to shut up and listen. He knows when to go with the flow. He has a great eye for people he can trust. He has a tendency to partner up with people that maybe you wouldn't expect him to partner up with. I don't think that him and Matt Bischoff are necessarily the most likely combination of all time. And I think that him palling up with the Bro Alliance, with the Three Amigos, I don't think that that's necessarily something that people would expect. So I think that he's willing to put his faith in people who are not necessarily the people you would expect him to be playing with. And I think he's very smart. He's incredibly well-spoken. He's not much of a challenge threat, but he's not enough of a liability that you're going to cancel him before the merge. And then if you get him in the merge, he's quiet. He's sneaky. Don't trust the quiet ones. He could go really far. And he's, you know, got a lot of experience in business. He's got a lot of experience in life. And I think that he's underrated, and it made me really, really sad to see that that he got the deal that he got, because I think Michael Snow could have done really well in Cagayan or, you know, some other all new player season. So like Taj, somebody I just want to see play again, and somebody who I think could do some real damage given another shot, Michael Snow.
But he got to be best friends with Corinne.
It's true. It worked out for him ultimately.
Yeah. Antonio, what do you think of Lord Snow?
I like Michael Snow. I like Michael and Matt both, and I wish that both had been given a better shake at things. I agree with Josh. Putting them on a fans versus favorite season was a little bit difficult for them because they were immediately targeted, you know, once the merge happened or once the charts were put together in a way that really did not favor them. So I like both of those guys. Snowy's seems like a really likable guy. And I too would like to see him play again. That said, I'm not confident in his ability to win the game. But I really do like him as a player and would love to see him play again.
Okay. All right, Antonio. You get to round out. Let's just close out the Josh Wiggler team. Okay. The Josh's team is officially locked with Danny Boatwright and then Hayden Moss, then Vetus. Then what does the Fox say? Tasha Fox at number at round four. Then went with Miss Survivor. Then went with Fabio and then Taj and then Michael Snow there in rounds 6, 7, 8.
I like my team.
Okay, Josh happy with his team. All right, yeah. Antonio, let's close out your team. You selected Dawn Meehan in round 7. You need to select a male player here in round 8.
Knowing that I need to select a male player, I'm very, very tempted to go with the best player available strategy by the rankings that were submitted. That strategy would put my pick as, I believe I'm correct on this, Coach Benjamin Wade. I'm not going to make that pick. I'm not going to make that pick. I'm very tempted to do it. The only reason I'm not pulling the trigger on Coach is you never know where that guy's going to end up. He's a big fan of the narrative. He tells a story every season, and he has gotten better, it seems like, every time. And I kind of think that if he would have just owned his own game a little bit more the last time we saw him play, he may have won. So I'm very tempted to pick him because I think the arrow could be pointing up with Coach, but he's just such a wild card that I have no idea what he's going to get out there and want to do. Is he going to want to be a Dragon Slayer? Is he going to want to be, you know, a big man, a bigger man than he was the last time? I mean, I don't know with Coach, and because I don't know, I can't count on him on my team. So I am going to take a player from Survivor Nicaragua. Now, there are two players in my mind, male players from this season, that are both underrated and both have the opportunity to be picked here. Dan is one of them.
Okay. No, only his knees.
Yes, I only prefer to take players who don't have shoes. So Dan is out.
Okay.
My pick is between two of these players. I'm going to go with the one that I think, if they just do a little bit better about owning their game and fix a couple of mistakes about their game, I think they have an opportunity to win. So I'm picking Sash Lenihan.
Oh, Decoy. I thought that Antonio was going with Benry, but he goes with Sash. Team Sash.
I thought I was going Marty.
Yeah, Marty would have been my pick. The problem that I have with Marty is he went on tilt so hard against Jane and made his whole game essentially about getting her out, tribal council after tribal council, in anger, and really played a lot of angry kind of moves. I think Marty knows a lot about the game. I think he's a great player. I don't trust his ability to keep it together and play through a full season. I actually trust Sash to be able to, you know, make alliances. He talked Marty out of an immunity idol. So he's a real estate sales guy, right? So he's no slouch when it comes to playing the social game. That said, he was very duplicitous, tagged for it. He didn't own it, and he ended up losing to Bobby. So I think he probably has some regret there, and I think he's going to be much better next time.
All right, Mallory, you have the final pick.
I do, and I think it's going to be one of the more controversial picks of, you know, even more controversial than Troyzan, but I'm very happy that Antonio passed on Benjamin Wade, because I'm going to go with Coach for my final male pick.
Coach!
Okay, good. Well, you know, Coach slipped here in the draft. He fell. It was they kept showing him on the TV coverage of this. He had his head in his hands. He was very upset. He was pacing back and forth, waiting for his name to get called. And so here is Coach at number 32 overall, best player available.
Yeah, I really think that Coach has the potential to, like, pull a Boston Rob, come back for his fourth season, and really kill it. He played a really amazing game, I thought, in South Pacific, his third game, with the La Familia whole alliance. I just think if he owned his game at the final tribal, as Antonio said, then he would have taken the game for sure. And I feel like if he comes back with that little bit self-awareness and like less playing towards the cameras, I really think he could win the game.
Coach is famous for his self-awareness, so we shouldn't have any.
Okay, I like the pick. I think that was a good value there. I think that, I mean, right now, according to our rankings, if we're taking out of the top 30, Coach would be more of a 64 overall as opposed to the 32 where he lands. And I don't think that's a bad spot to take Coach as the 64th best Survivor player on the board.
I'm very happy.
I feel like, do you think that he can do better than second place? Do you feel like that? I kind of feel like that final tribal council is the best we could see from Coach. I think he played a great game, but I feel like he doesn't have the closing argument.
I know. I have such high hopes that he could come back and just know the game that he plays and know that it doesn't work for him and could just pull it out. I feel like if he had a really strong passion to win, I think he could come back and play a very similar game to Boston Rob.
As long as we could see more Coach Chi, I'd be good.
Okay. Let me just
play first half of the game on a treadmill. I think Coach would be phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Absolutely. All right. Let me just reset the boards for Antonio and for Mallory, and then we'll give you guys a chance to tell us what you think. Okay. So Antonio's board is he has Aris, Vesepia, Lex, and then Jerry Manthe, a reunion of the Survivor All-Stars there. Then he has Bob Crowley and Candace, and then Dawn and Sash. And then Mallory's team, she goes with Ethan Zahn, then Stephanie LaGrossa, then Troyzan, then Natalie Bolton, then Sheehan, then Jonas, then Twyla, and rounds it out with Coach. Okay, so I will post all of these on robaswebsite.com, and I'll see if I can get a hold of Kurt tonight to see if he can set up some sort of polling to see, to allow people to vote on who has the best, most underrated team. And then we'll have another vote to see who has the most underrated team.
Vote for me, hashtag Team JW.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You want to do that? If you want to also vocalize your support on Twitter, do hashtag team and then the initial. So that's that would be AM for Antonio, JW for Josh, MB for Mallory, and RC for me.
But not for RC? Say no more?
Yeah. Possibly not. So, all right. I want to thank everybody for participating in this.
Thank you, Rob.
This was really fun.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you guys very much. And we're going to have plenty more Big Brother coverage coming along this week on Wednesday night and Thursday night. We will also have our Survivor podcast. We're trying to do one Survivor show a week, all right here on robhasawebsite.com. So make sure you subscribe, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye. And don't forget, you can still get 2 weeks of Hulu Plus for free and watch shows like Family Guy, Once Upon a Time, New Girl, Scandal, and more when you try out Hulu Plus at HuluPlus.com/Rob. That's HuluPlus.com/ROB.